All right, turn to Proverbs 11 and verse 20. This will be our last verse for the evening, Proverbs 11 and verse 20. Getting to another column in my Bible, and for the Cambridge Club anyway, we're in another column, that's good. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. This is one of the Proverbs, there's not a ton of them, that have the good part at the end. I like the good part at the end. I like ending on a happy note, not a sad one. Proverbs 11:20, which I already read. So let's look at the definitions here of the first part. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. Froward, not to be confused with forward. Now, froward is disposed to go counter to what is demanded or what is reasonable, perverse, difficult to deal with, hard to please, refractory, ungovernable, also in a wider sense, bad, evilly disposed, naughty, the opposite of toward. Instead of going toward the way of righteousness, you're going away from it. You're refusing to go in the direction that God told you to, and you're going in the opposite direction. That's what to be froward is. He that is of a froward heart, we're told. The heart is, when you're speaking of the seat of feeling, understanding, and thought, it means it's equal to, synonymous with the mind in the widest sense, including the functions of feeling, volition, which is choice, and intellect. It's also the seat of one's inmost thoughts and secret feelings, one's inmost being, the depths of the soul, the spirit. It's also the seat of the emotions generally, the emotional nature as distinguished from the intellectual nature placed in the head. You want to make sure that you guide your religion and your faith by your head, not by your heart. Now, when you guide it by your head, then you can have your heart in it. But you want to make sure you always guide it by your head. You guide it by logical decision-making, with what saith the scripture, and then once you've figured out what the scripture says, and you believe what it says, and you do what it says, then you can get your heart in it, and do it with all your heart, and do it heartily, but you always want to use your head first. Don't use your heart first. I was just listening to J.P. Sears the other day. You've probably seen him online. Comedian. He makes fun of almost everything. And up until not that long ago, the guy was a spiritualist. But now, he's had somewhat of a conversion experience, and he now believes in God anyway, and he's trying to follow the tenets of Christianity. He didn't mention Christ. I don't know if he just left that out intentionally or unintentionally, but he's got a long way to go. But I listened to his talk, and it was interesting anyway to see a guy like him starting to come around. But he's, like I said, he still has a long way to go because his idea is that you essentially follow your heart, that God will put, he'll put feelings in your heart of good feelings. If you should be doing something, you should have a good feeling about it. And if you shouldn't be doing something, you should have a bad feeling about it. And I'm not saying that there's no truth in that. I mean, we do have a conscience, and your conscience can be instructed to tell you right and wrong, but your conscience can also be messed up if you haven't instructed it with the Word of God. So anyway, he's got a ways to go, but I did think that was encouraging to see that he's at least making some strides towards the truth. It'd be great if we could get some people like him on our side, you know, because he is very effective and has quite a large following, and quite funny, and many times. All right, then they that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. Abomination is the feeling or state of mind of combined disgust and hatred, abhorrence, detestation, loathing. So abomination is even worse than hatred. Hatred, you just hate something. But abomination, you're just disgusted by it, and you hate it. It'd be kind of like the difference between, and maybe this is a good example, fornication and sodomy. Fornication, you hate. Sodomy, you're just disgusted by, right? It's just vile because it's against nature and everything else. So in other words, God hates, abhors, detests, loathes, and is disgusted with those who have ideas, thoughts, feelings, and emotions that are ungovernable, difficult to deal with, and are disposed to go counter to what is demanded and reasonable. In other words, people that are stubborn, right? People that just want to, you tell them to zig, they want to zag. They're just going to, some people just do that. There's some teenagers like that, some kids like that. They'll just intentionally do the opposite of what you tell them to just because you told them to do a certain thing. And God hates that. He hates it and he's disgusted by it. Proverbs 3:32, which is a verse we looked at a long time ago in this study, tells us that God hates froward people. Now, of course, we've all heard many times that God hates the sin but not the sinner, but the Bible teaches no such thing. Proverbs 3:32 says, "For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous." The froward, so that's referring to a person, the froward, right? The froward person. He is an abomination to the Lord. God hates him and is disgusted by him. Just give you a characteristic of a froward person. This kind of person devises mischief continually. Proverbs 6:14 says, we're talking about, if you just back up to verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He's always mouthing off and talking back to whoever's in authority, telling him what he ought to be doing. And he's going to tell him why he shouldn't be doing that. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. So you can kind of get an idea of why God would hate somebody like this. And would you like somebody that sows discord, that devises mischief continually? He just sits around when other people just want to kind of veg out, maybe relax after a long day's work, and he sits down and thinks, who can I harm? Who can I rob? Who could I defraud? You know, how could I burn down my neighbor's house and not find out that it was me, right? I mean, something like that. You can kind of understand a guy like that, why God would hate him. I'm pretty sure I would hate him too. If we just go down a few verses here, we see that God hates a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, like this character here. Verses 16 and 18, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And then verse 18, "An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run in running to mischief." So this is the froward man that deviseth mischief continually. The Lord hates him. And the Lord hates his thoughts as well, because the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 15 and verse 26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." And God not only hates froward hearts, but he hates those who have them. Proverbs 11 and verse 20, which is our verse that we're looking at already. So, "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord." So it's not, he doesn't just hate the heart, but he actually hates the person that the heart resides in. Okay, so let's look at some behavior that's indicative of a froward heart that's despised to go counter to what God commands in his word. People that do these kind of things I'm going to list off here are hated of God. And you'll see that there's nothing new under the sun. These things were prohibited back in the Old Testament thousands of years ago, and they are still practiced to this day. Deuteronomy 18:10 through 12. Things like idolatry, divination, witchcraft, Satanism, occultism, all these things are said to be an abomination to God. And they that do them obviously have a froward heart, because God says, don't do this, and they just obstinately go ahead and do it. So they're showing that they are froward, and they are the object of God's hatred. Deuteronomy 18:10 through 12 says, there shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, child sacrifice. We have that today. It's called abortion. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, somebody that's involved in the occult, somebody that's wanting to, you know, delve into the spirit realm and, you know, get information that they have no right to, or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits, somebody who could supposedly call up some spirit of some person, maybe that's already died and gone on, and communicate with him, or a wizard, which is a male witch, or a necromancer, which is somebody that communicates with the dead. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. So there were people that were in the land before Israel that were into these things, and then Israel got themselves into these things, and the Lord says that anybody that does these things are an abomination to him. He's disgusted and hates it. And it's not just an Old Testament precept. The New Testament likewise tells us that we are to abstain from works of the flesh, such as witchcraft. And in this passage, I think it's in this passage, it tells us to abstain from such like things. In Galatians 5 and verse 20, or verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. And he says, they that do such things, like things that are like these things. So when you have witchcraft there, you can lump right in with that all those other things: observers of times, enchanters, charmers, consulters with familiar spirits, wizards, necromancers, diviners, all those type of things where people go to the dark spiritual realm to communicate with those spirits. And we have this today. You ever heard of Halloween? Right? What do you think Halloween is but communing with the dead, communing with these devilish spirits? Or Harry Potter, right? The movie, which is witchcraft. And then that's wildly popular. Or I get myself in trouble with this one, but how about the Lord of the Rings? Mm-hmm. You know how many Christians love the Lord of the Rings? Tons of them. I mean, it's wildly popular with Christians, which is, I don't get, because there's a guy in there called Gandalf, if I remember right. I only watched one of the movies because people raved about it. I never watched it. And then Jason was telling me how wonderful, you know, he and his kids just loved it. And I know a lot of people that love it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I'll watch it just to see what it's all about. And I just wasn't even into it anyway. I didn't care for it. But more than that was, you got Gandalf, the wizard. A wizard is a witch. A wizard is an evil, satanically inspired person. And Christians just love this, that whole series. It's weird. I don't get it.
Pastor Wagner, maybe because they have not been taught about wizards, right?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, I think that's kind of...
Christians, I didn't know that wizards were a bad thing.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it kind of seems like Bible 101 to me, but maybe not.
People think that if it's fiction, it's okay.
Yeah.
But if you're going to think evil and pretend evil, you might as well be doing it. And I think that I quoted Matt Ruma maybe perfectly from a sermon he did for Pastor Mott a very long time ago. Mm.
Yeah.
But he was talking about games and, like, I think at that time there was maybe a card game that was like something that he was aware of or something. But that video games, movies, if you're going to think evil and pretend it, you might as well be doing it because it's in your heart.
Yeah, right. No, that's true. And And I think what's especially insidious about things like the Lord of the Rings is that Gandalf was a good wizard, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Like so there I was are. Thinking is that you've yeah. got people thinking you've got yeah. good witches and bad witches.
Yeah, good witches and bad witches.
I think part of the thing that makes that particular thing okay is in my high school we had to read, I think it was Lord of the Rings or one of those types of books. Mm-hmm. It was mandatory for us to read it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was put on you as a.
Oh sure, yeah.
Same
yeah.
with The Hobbit.
Yeah, yeah.
We were required yeah. to read To Kill a Mockingbird. I think it was To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, I think I had to read that one too. Or other things today, like Ouija boards. People do those things, which I've never done, thankfully, or never really even seen anybody do it. But you don't want to do that because you are opening yourself up with communication with satanic forces or something like that, and you don't want to go there. And then you have things which this you may have heard of this before. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. And when I say you may have heard of this before, if you haven't heard of this, you have had your eyes closed for the last decade or so. That would be cross-dressing, transgenderism. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. This is getting to be ubiquitous all over the place. Deuteronomy 22:5. A woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Abomination. So when God sees a woman dressed in a man's clothing, or a man dressed in woman's clothing, he hates it, and it's disgusting to him, and it ought to be to us also. And once again, this is not just an Old Testament commandment or precept. This is repeated, essentially, in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards shall, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Effeminate is a man that acts like a woman. Abusers of themselves with mankind are sodomites, but effeminate would be the womanly type man, the man that acts like a woman, dresses like a woman. In other words, a transgender. It's just out of control these days with this transgender stuff. And now all these corporations, most of them, are all woke, and they're all jumping on this bandwagon, like Budweiser, you know, with the transgender, whoever he is, guy that claims to be a woman. And thankfully, they're getting a huge boycott, and I hope they go out of business. But they're not the only ones. I mean, they're all doing it. It's a satanic, if you ask me, it's a satanic conspiracy to persecute Christians. That's what this stuff comes down to. Because it started out with fornication, and then it moved into sodomy, which was very abhorrent. But now they've taken it to another level with this transgender stuff, which is just over the top, absurd, ridiculous, disgusting, confusing. You look at somebody and you can't even tell sometimes if he's a man or a woman. And then they use this terminology like a trans man. They say he's a trans man. Now, if you don't know the terminology, you would think, oh, he's a man that is trans, so a man that's looking like a woman. But that's not what they mean. When they say trans man, they mean it is a woman who has transitioned into a man. So when you hear trans man, it's actually a woman that thinks he's a man, thinks she's a man. And a trans woman is a trans woman, in quotes, is a man who thinks he's a woman and dresses like a woman and whatever. It's just absolute confusion. Mm-hmm. And then with the pronoun thing, now you get to choose your pronouns, and you have to accept people's pronouns. And if a man wants to be called she, her, then you have to call him that. Or if a woman wants to be called he, him, you have to call him that or her that. And so they've upped the ante to make it so disgusting and abhorrent that Christians finally, hopefully, will just say, enough, I'm not doing it. And then they can say, you're hateful and you're bigoted and you're a transphobe, and then they can persecute you for that. This is what the whole thing's about. Because do you really think that the powers that be and these big multinational corporations, do you think they care about these weirdo freaks that want to be the opposite gender? Do you think they care about them at all? Of course they don't. They don't care. Why would they care about them? A bunch of weirdos that used to comprise a very, very small percentage of the population. Now, because of social media and these influencers and the schools, and these public schools is being taught to these kids from kindergarten up. They learn gender stuff from kindergarten and up in a lot of these schools. And if it's not in all of them, it will be soon. And so they get propagandized, these little kids asking them, what gender are you? Do you think you're a boy? Do you think you're a girl? You know, do you like playing with trucks? Or do you like playing with dolls? Mm-hmm. Whatever. And then they confuse them. And then these kids then go on these social media sites, like YouTube or TikTok or whatever, and they find these influencers who are trans themselves. And then they're maybe questioning a little bit. Which is not altogether uncommon for kids to sometimes be confused, especially when they start to go through puberty and things like that. And so then these influencers tell them, well, hey, if you have a question about it, then you're probably the opposite gender, and you need to affirm this, and other people need to affirm this. And then they get hooked on these videos, and they start watching all this stuff, and they get into this mm-hmm. online community. And a lot of times these kids are kind of on the fringe. Maybe they were, maybe a girl was a tomboy, or a boy was maybe not quite as boyish as the other boys, and he didn't quite fit in, and now he finds these influencers that tells this little boy he's really a girl, or tells this little girl she's really a boy. And then there's this whole online community that all affirm you, and as soon as you come out and you transition, then they all cheer for you and tell you how brave you are and how wonderful you are, and now you're accepted, and now you fit in. And then the teachers push this stuff, and they send you to a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist then will recommend puberty blockers and hormones and even mastectomies and all kinds of stuff. And they mutilate these kids. They ruin them. And it's happening all over the place. It's absolutely evil. And it's because of this damnable internet, social media, smartphone, and then facilitated by the wicked teachers in these public schools. It's just, it's awful. It's even happening in my little school that I grew up in. There's this stuff's happening there. Little country school. It's everywhere. And God says it's an abomination. I think there's a special spot in hell for all anybody that would influence a child, a little child, to mutilate himself or herself and to take hormones that would mess him up for the rest of his life or her up. Well, I mean, I shouldn't say I think. I pretty much have a Bible verse for it. And was it Matthew 18? Where he said that if you offend one of these little ones and believe in me, it'd be better to have a millstone hanged about your neck and cast into the depth of the sea. Matthew 18 and verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And I think we're going to see more and more of this stuff. And parents, you better be on the ball, because this stuff is everywhere. And we have back in Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16, dishonesty and fraud in business. This likewise is an abomination to the Lord. Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure thou shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things are For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. False balance and a false weight are an abomination, we're told. And getting back to that transgender thing, I just saw a documentary. I wanted to watch it, but you had to actually join the Daily Wire for a year-long subscription. I didn't want to do all that, but by a guy named Matt Walsh, and it's called What is a Woman? And I did watch the first 15 minutes. You could watch that for free. And he goes and he interviews these, like the top gender reassignment surgeon in the country and these other psychologists and psychiatrists. And these people are nuts. And he'll ask them, what is a woman? And they can't even define for you what a woman is. He goes in the streets of New York City and to a group of four or five women. And he said, what is a woman? And they all just stand there dumbfounded. They're like, He's like, well, you all are women, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what is a woman? They can't tell you. They can't tell you what a woman is. I mean, how about a human being that has a vagina, uterus, fallopian tubes, ovaries, and breasts? 2X chromosomes. I mean, maybe that would be a good start.
You're saying he asked women, just women.
Asked women. Yeah, just women on the street. Yeah. What is a woman?
Unless they just didn't know what he was looking for. Because, I mean, I would not know what to say. If somebody asked me that,
I feel like that would be a super weird question. Yeah.
I would even know how to respond if somebody just came up on the street and asked me that.
Well, they didn't know how to respond because they've been indoctrinated in this gender garbage. And you could tell, like, they didn't know what to say because, well, you can't say that a woman's, you know, has biological parts that are womanly because, you know, men can have penises too. Or, I mean, women can have penises. Women can have penises too. That's what they say. I mean, that's this psychologist that he's talking to, she's like, women can have penises, men can have penises, and, yeah. I mean, these people are totally insane. Totally insane.
You were at the school board meeting here last week about that professor stood up in front of all these parents and said there was no skeletal difference between a man and a woman, and they come unglued.
Yeah, and they mocked them and made fun of them. Yeah, he was an anthropologist.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, and they asked him. They said, if you found skeletal remains of a human being, could you tell based on the bone structure if it was a man or a woman? He's like, no. And they laughed him out. I mean, they mocked him, and rightly so. Stupid fools. So yeah, this stuff, I had something else I wanted to say about that too, and then I've forgotten. But anyway, maybe it'll come to me. And then we have another thing here of defending the wicked and condemning, defending the women and wicked and condemning the just is another thing that's an abomination in God's sight. Proverbs 17 and verse 15. Ketanji, whatever her name is, Brown, I think, the new Supreme Court Justice, she didn't know what a woman is. They asked her in her testimony when they were confirming her, said, can you tell me, can you define what a woman is for me? She's like, I'm not a biologist. She didn't know what a woman is. Of course she does. She knows what a woman is. She can't say what a woman is. Because if you say what a woman is, then you're a transphobe. Because women can have penises too. Yeah.
You're offending people.
No, it's crazy. The Lord gives people that rebel against him over to madness, we read about in the book of Deuteronomy, and that's where we are, madness, insanity. People are totally, certifiably lunatic today. Proverbs 17 and verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Think about corrupt defense and prosecution attorneys, right? Justifies the wicked, the corrupt defense attorney that knows full well that his client is guilty of murder or whatever, and he defends him anyway and does his best to try to get, you know, to try to somehow, you know, get a technicality or something. Or he that condemns the just, right? The prosecutor that knows full well this guy is not guilty, and if he is guilty, it's only on a technicality. And he does his best to destroy the guy's life. people that do that are an abomination to the Lord. God hates the froward mouth, which speaks what comes from the froward heart. Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." The mouth that's ungovernable, that can't control itself. It just shoots off. It says whatever it feels like. God hates that. And it says in Matthew 12 and verse 34 that the whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Matthew 12:34, "O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Okay, I remember what I was going to say about the transgender thing. And I'm sorry, I was going to preach on this and I just never did. But one of the lies that they wrote parents into this thing with is that they will tell parents that if your child thinks that he's a girl or she's a boy, and if you don't affirm that, and if you don't allow him or her to go on this journey to transition to another gender, if you don't do that, your child will commit suicide. And this is the lie that they tell, and they scare parents into this. It's everywhere. They will tell you this. Any parent that's ever been through this, that's what they tell you. That they told, "Well, I didn't know what to do. They told me that my child would commit suicide if I didn't allow them to transition, if I didn't affirm them in this." And so then they go along with it. And the lie is that the opposite is most likely true. If you do allow that child to transition and mutilate him or herself and go on puberty blockers and all this stuff, it's going to mess him up for the rest of his life and probably, or her life, and probably sterilize her and whatever else. Those people have a high rate of suicide. It's evil.
These parents that are convinced of this must have had zero upbringing themselves and be extremely, extremely shallow, I guess is the only thing I can think to say. But
I think most of the children that end up doing this and the parents that go along with it are lefty, you know, left-leaning, probably already in favor of woke, in favor of sodomite marriage and this kind of stuff. But, you know,
gullible in a way.
But any kid, you know, regardless of, I mean, unless he's been really instructed well, any kid can go, I mean, you go 7 hours a day to a school and you're indoctrinated with this garbage day in, day out. And what are your pronouns? Are you a he or a she or whatever? And all the cool kids are doing it, right? And you got the number of students that have transitioned or whatever, and anybody can be, any kid can be affected by that.
That has happened to your niece.
Yeah, my nieces in their class, they only have like 10 kids in their class or something. And at one point, this is a couple of years ago, and these girls were little, like maybe 10, 11 years old or something like that. And like almost every girl in the class was a lesbian. So they said, so they thought. This is ridiculous. But
well, that latest school shooting in Nashville was a transgender, and nobody in that Christian school would accept them.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents made her go anyway. And that's why she went into that school and shot 6 people.
Yeah.
Because she was being forced to accept something that she wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's her excuse anyway. I mean,
well, she doesn't have that excuse anymore either.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, and I think that was years after the fact. She was like 28 or something, I think. So, I mean, that had been a long time before that. Yep, and now they're the victims. And they're encouraged to be violent. They're encouraged to rage. And so they can be violent against other people, but they're the victims. And it's crazy. Yeah, if you're not following the culture war, this may all sound crazy to you, but I'm not making it up. In Psalm 18 and verse 26, we read that God will show himself froward with the froward. Psalm 18 and verse 26. I just saw some headline about a man who claiming to be a woman went through the TSA line and ended up getting patted down and had her testicles smashed and was in a lot of pain. And it was, I mean, you couldn't help but laugh because here's a woman claiming to have her testicles smashed by the TSA. It's just like, how many women can have testicles too, you know? Oh, wow. Anyway, Psalm 18 and verse 26. And all I do is read a few headlines every day. I mean, I'm not studying this stuff like crazy. I'm not going out there even looking for it. I guess I just am, you know, frequent the right places. But yeah, I just basically read a few headlines and have learned most of this. Psalm 18 and verse 26. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. To people who want to be contrary, God says, you want to be contrary? I'll be contrary. And he can be a lot more contrary than you can. And the froward man has a difficult road ahead of him. Proverbs 22 and verse 5. It says, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Thorns and snares. So that's why I say he's got a difficult road ahead of him. He's going to be getting pricked and poked every way along the way until he figures out that he ought to start going in the right way. Now the second half of the proverb. But such as are upright in their way are his delight. Upright, when we're speaking of persons, and this is in a figurative context, it is adhering to or following correct moral principles of unbending integrity or rectitude, morally just, honest, or honorable. Those that are upright in their way. A way is a course of life or action, means, manner, a path or course of life, the activities and fortunes of a person, in the plural, like a man's ways, or habits of life, especially with regard to moral conduct. And it says that they that are upright in their way are his delight. Delight is the fact or condition of being delighted, pleasure, joy, or gratification felt in a high degree. Anything in which one takes delight or which affords delight, an object of delight, a source of great pleasure or joy. So in other words, those who adhere to and follow correct moral principles and are morally just and honest with unbending integrity in their course of life, actions, and activities, bring God a high degree of pleasure, joy, and gratification. So, think about that. We can actually make God happy. Now, God doesn't really need anything to be happy. He can be happy all by himself. But this says that they that are upright in their way are his delight. So, we, little children of God, can actually make the creator of the universe happy. Delightful, isn't that something? So whereas God hates those who have froward hearts, he loves those who act uprightly. He loves the right, or he loves righteousness. Psalm 11 and verse 7. And this is the other side of the coin. This is why God hates sin, because he loves righteousness. If you love righteousness, then you hate whatever's contrary to it, whatever's opposite of it. And if you love the righteous, then you hate the unrighteous. Psalm 11 and verse 7, it says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. You see there, upright is defined as a righteous person or a person that does righteousness. The Lord loveth righteousness. In Hebrews 1 and verse 9, this is spoken of the Lord Jesus, that he loveth righteousness. See, now the Jesus that's preached out there in the world, he loves everything. I mean, not only does he love sinners, he just pretty much loves everything. I mean, no matter what you're doing, he loves you. and he accepts you just how you are. Just come as you are, and no really need to change. He's happy with you just that way. Hebrews 1 and verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Now that would blow a lot of worldly people's minds that heard about Jesus Christ, and to say that he loves righteousness and hates iniquity. He hates sin. Most people wouldn't, they wouldn't agree with that.
Well, they would, because you gotta hate the sin, but not the sinner.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about like Arminians. I'm talking about people out there, very worldly people that have this idea of Jesus that he just loves everything, and he'd never say an unkind word to anybody. He would never get mad at anybody. He'd never yell at anybody, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. This is what the world thinks. They don't see Jesus in Matthew 23 form, you know, where he's, yes, yeah, condemning the scribes and Pharisees and beating people out of the temple. And God also loves the righteous. Psalm 146 and verse 8. Psalm 146 and verse 8. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. He loves the righteous, and he loves righteousness. Those that are upright in their way are his delight. Those that are upright keep themselves from sin, and that's why they delight the Lord. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 24. 2 Samuel 22:24. I was also upright before him and have kept myself from iniquity. So you see how uprightness here is tied in with keeping yourself from sin, right? So people that keep themselves from sin are upright and therefore are God's delight. Psalm 19 and verse 13. Psalm 19:13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. That's sins that you do on purpose, that you know are wrong, and you do it anyway. Those are the ones that God really judges. Let them not have dominion over me, then shall I be upright, and shall be innocent from the great transgression. So those who keep themselves back from sins, especially intentional presumptuous sins, are God's delight. It is righteousness that keeps the upright in the way. Proverbs 13 and verse 6. Proverbs 13 and verse 6. This is how you stay upright. You stay in the way by being righteous, which is by keeping God's commandments. Proverbs 13 and verse 6 says, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. And the way of the upright is to depart from evil. So when an upright man gets in the way of evil, he turns from it. He doesn't stay in it. And that pleases God. Anytime that you turn from evil, you find yourself out of the way and you turn from that, that delights God, that pleases God. I imagine if we thought like God did, and I've thought about this before, that we think of great human feats, like people that do amazing things, that make inventions that, you know, change the world, or people that, you know, are oversee conquests that take over nations and change world history and things like that. And we look at that as great accomplishments. But I have a feeling that when God looks at a child of God and he sees a child of God being tempted with this temptation, he's got this very strong urge to sin, and he just says, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to displease God. I don't want to offend God. That right there, I think, God would look at and say, that was a momentous occasion. Like, that was a great feat. That was something that God is impressed with, much more than Napoleon taking over half of Europe.
He that ruleth over his own spirit, stronger or something than he did.
Than he that taketh the city.
Something like that.
Yep. Yeah, I know what verse you're talking about. It's in... 23. It's Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Mm-hmm. And then in Proverbs, I think it's 25, mm-hmm. 28. He that hath no ruler over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls. But yeah, that man that controls his anger, he's got more power than he that can take a city. All right, where was I? Proverbs 16:17, I think. I don't think I read that one, did I? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So the upright man that's God's delight, it's because he departs from evil. He sticks on that straight and narrow path and doesn't deviate to the right or to the left. Proverbs 21 and verse 29. A wicked man hardeneth his face. He's like that froward guy. But as for the upright, he directeth his way. He directs it in God's ways, and he is therefore God's delight. God delights in the upright who live by his word. He delights in those who understand and know him, and he delights in exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Let's look at Jeremiah 9 and verse 24. God says that these things that I just mentioned there, these things are what God delights in. He doesn't see as man sees, like when he was looking at David, when Samuel was looking for the king, and he went through all of the brethren of David, and, oh, this must be the Lord's anointed, this must be the Lord's anointed, and he says, don't look on the outward appearance, the Lord looks on the heart. Jeremiah 9 and verse 24, let's just start with 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Those are the things that God delights in. Understanding and knowing him, so knowing the doctrine, studying your Bible, knowing who the true God is, knowing how he saves sinners, knowing the things that please him, and exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. God delights in those things. He delights in those who deal truly and honestly. Proverbs 12 and verse 22. Proverbs 12, 22. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. And God delights in the prayers of his upright children. Proverbs 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So if you want to make God happy, pray. I mean, why wouldn't that make God happy? If somebody came to you and asked you to help them with their problem, and you could actually do it, wouldn't that make you happy? Wouldn't you feel? I mean, maybe you'd be like, oh, I hate dealing with people's problems, but maybe it would make you feel happy, right? You'd be like, oh, he actually came to me for help, right? He thought that I could help him. Well, that makes God happy too, when you come to God with your problems and your concerns, and especially with your praises, because we should praise God too. I think a lot of times when we pray, it's because we need this or that. But you always want to remember how the Our Father prayer starts out. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It doesn't start out, Our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Right? It starts out with, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Right? So remember the order. You don't want to get that confused. So if we want to make God happy, it is by ordering our lives according to the Holy Scriptures. And that is uprightness or righteousness by definition. And if we do that, we can actually please the Creator of the universe. And that's kind of a profound thought if you think about that. So I thank you for your kind of patient attention. I know it was kind of long tonight. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.